how many of you guys can remember life before cell phones? How many of you remember the brick? The first time you ever spoke on a mobile phone? I'm going to tell you what I remember. That, you know, it was about this big. It was in a black case, and it cost like $1,000 a minute. But I remember I was thinking, holy cow, you know, I was going down the road in this car, and I was on the phone, and it was just an incredible thing. Discovery Channel declared last year that the smartphone is one of the single greatest life-altering or life-changing inventions in human history. And I can absolutely believe that. I remember the first phones that really became vogue were Blackberries. How many of you guys ever had a Crackberry? All right. Crackberry, that's the way they kind of became called, because Crackberries, if you had a Crackberry, you were important. That was the symbol of importance. If you had a Crackberry, you were doing something. Our president carries a Crackberry, so I'll give you an idea. And then, now that's not a political statement, I'm just saying he carries a Blackberry, all right? But then if you had two Crackberries, if you had one for yourself and then one from work, well, you know, the best I ever managed was wearing two pagers. And I remember thinking inside my head, dude, you're kind of important. So, but then BlackBerry expanded, and you had two more companies, and you had Apple and Android, and those are predominantly the cell phone providers today. Just out of curiosity, how many of you guys are Apple phone users? Okay. How many of you guys are Android? How many of you go, I don't have any idea, I just dial on it and it... Okay. Yeah, that's right, okay. Just, yeah. I think his still has the antenna that comes out the top. But, there you go, but cell phones and all that entails has become integrated into our lives in such a way that this phrase has become very popular. There's an app for that. Have you ever gone out and just looked at the apps that are available? It is absolutely crazy what's out there. And in the iTunes store currently, there is 1.2 million apps available. Now, we've thought about producing our own ALF app, but it's still a little cost prohibitive for us. And there's been over 75 billion, with a B, downloads of just iPhone apps. And so it's an amazing thing out there. And I did a little survey on our Facebook page that I think you'll find interesting. But I also went and found this, the 10 most off-the-wall apps. Now, any technology is good technology when it's used, right? But I'm about to give you 10 apps that are absolute time wasters. These are, if you just want to give away some time, this one. Number 10. Now, this app is called the Hold On app. And anyone can do this game, okay? Anyone can do this game. You download the app and there's a button. And you put your finger on the button and the game is to hold on. The contest is to see how long you can keep your finger on that button. That's it. I actually entertained the idea of playing Hold On while teaching. But it's out there. It's Hold On, okay? And then there's Sim Stapler. How many of you guys like what a stapler sounds like? If you can't get enough, there's an app for that. It's called Sim Stapler. You put it on there, and when you hit it, you get that sound. There you go. Hey, I promise you, there's not another pastor in all of Greenville telling you where to find this type of quality stuff. Designated Dialer. Now, this is really good, A, if you drink too much, which you shouldn't do, or B, if you're known to shoot your mouth off and perhaps send a text that you wish you could get back. I'm not going to ask who may have done that. Designated Dialer is you give your friend the access code to your text. So unless they unlock it, you can't text it. Designated Dialer, okay? iSteam, okay? Now this one, you download it, and it puts a window over your window, and it looks like a steamy window like ours next door, and you can write on it. You can put messages in there, like I'd send Sharon, I love you. I'd put a heart, you know, that kind of thing. It's called iSteam. And then Moops. Okay, we're all semi-mature in here, so this is most famously known for its flagellant sound. It makes all sorts of different sounds, but it's most well-known for that. And if you don't know what flagellants is, you can ask someone later, okay? How about this one? The Rotary Dialer. Oh, they got it right over here. Okay, they just got it. The Rotary Dialer. this app allows you, when you dial your cell phone, to give you that rotary sound. It really does, and you have to wait for it. It's just, so. The zit picker, I think that goes without statement. If you go and download this, my message to you has had no impact whatsoever today. Your mama voice edition. There's a string of jokes in our world called Your Mama, and this is the app for that. And then there's this, email and walk. Cody, I thought of you when I saw this. This gives you the ability with this app that while you're writing email or text, it uses the camera to show you what's in front of you. So you're looking through your phone. I had someone walking in earlier that could have used that. You know who you are. So, and then there's the pet body, the pet baby app. Now, Jared, I thought of you. This gives you the ability to combine your child's photograph and your pet's photograph. Now, no insult intended. I just did think of you when I saw this. So, the pet baby app, I don't know. If you download it, let me know what you think. Okay. And then I did a quick survey of us here at ALF. The 10 is fitness and calendars. Many of us have those. Sports, which you can imagine. Is anyone right now looking at a sports app? God sees you. Photos or Instagram, any sort of photo apps, or number 8. iTunes, Pandora, or Spotify, music. I was listening to Pandora just this morning. Craigslist or Amazon. That's my bride. Bible apps. I'm glad it made it in the top 5. Snapchat or Twitter. Up there, Cody, I was thinking of you. Weatherbug, or some sort of weather app. Pinterest. My wife helped put that one on the close up. And then the number 1 Facebook app at ALF is Facebook. So if you're on there, you're good to go. Here's some honorable mentions. One I've recently found is Trivia Crack. It is awesome. It makes you feel awesomely intelligent and absolutely illiterate at the same time. And then we have one down here. It's a family calendar sync called Cozy. And Tim, you guys use that. So if you ever want to get your family on the same calendar, they're doing it right over there. It's called Cozy. So there you go. Today's life app we're going to discuss is the life app of time. As I thought about this message and I thought about the new year and I thought about all these things, everything in life begins with time. And so we're going to talk about time today. A couple years ago, October, a movie came out. It wasn't really a good movie. It had Justin Timberlake in it, so to tell you how good it was. Didn't realize. Okay. Gee, okay. Thought the Zit app would get me in more trouble than... But the movie wasn't that good, but I wanted to see the movie because of the concept. And the basic concept was this, is that humanity had been designed to live 25 years plus one. And in that 26th year, if you ran out of time, you simply ceased to exist. In the movie, everything in life was divided, earned, bought, sold, traded in time. Everything. And it was an amazing and a very interesting concept. I really giggled a little and thought about it. They were down in a very difficult part of town, and there was a mission. Pardon me. Much like we have today, where people need help. But what they would go in for was not food, clothing, or shelter. They would go in for time. So the whole movie was about time. How much time you had, how you could accrue more time, or how your time was being spent. And as we're studying about time, I found amazing number of songs written on the very thing, time. Did a little survey, and one of my all-time time songs is Jim Croce, Time in a Bottle. That's an awesome song. And then there's a lot of great poems written about it as well. I came across a support group. It's called the TOC Support Group. And what caught my eye was their theme. Their slogan is this, "Don't make me chase you." And I thought, I wonder if we have any TOCA members in our congregation. And so I thought we'd just look at this real quick. We got time, right? Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time. Okay. It's called the Type A Obsessive Compulsive Association. I think there's some, perhaps here in our fellowship. Many are stressed out, overcommitted, and spread too thinly. Do you wonder whether you are a TOCA member or not? Well, here's some clues. If you're at a traffic light and the traffic light turns green and the person in front of you waits longer than 3 seconds, you honk your horn. Oh, I'm seeing some testimony over here. I'm not going to ask for a confession. We're just looking, right? A TOCA member likes to do two things at once, and if he can do three it's simultaneously, it's heavenly. This guy's working two phones while driving a vehicle. A TOCA member, two worst nightmares, a terrorist attack, and a three-mile backup on I-30. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, I am scratching some itch in here. A TOCA member's favorite inventions: email, voicemail, text message, Instagram, Facebook, so they can message 24 hours a day. Yes, that is truth, right? A TOC member, Jared Buck, cannot watch an athletic event on TV unless he has a book, magazine, or a computer in hand because the timeouts are just too vexing. Amen. That's you, isn't it? That is you, I'm telling you. A TOC member always drives 8 miles an hour over the speed limit, and when passes someone driving the right speed, he mumbles or she mumbles, "Come on, Granny, drive it or park it." Tanya, is that you? Telling you what, that was the biggest response. I think we got some. Now, in contrast to the TOCA members, Jesus, in contrast, never rushed. He was usually busy, but always found time to pray a lot. His ministry was accomplished in 3 short years, but he found time to play with children, investigate a fig tree, take a nap during a boat ride, rest at noontime beside a well, and attend a wedding reception. So if Jesus, the Savior of the world, had time to do things, how come we don't? You ever wonder? I'm not going to ask for a confession, but you know. Is your mind right now thinking, you know, I'm not even sure I have time to listen to the rest of this message? Now, I really did think about doing this because I am just that cruel about setting a clock up here and setting it about 10 minutes fast just to see how many of you would worry about whether my clock was right or yours. Time's a tough thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 tells us this. There's an appointed time. You know what's important about appointments? Is that when appointments are made, that means that a person or a group of persons are coming together at a destination that has been set apart for high value importance. When you make an appointment, you're saying that unless divinely hindered, I'm going to meet that appointment. Jesus tells us, and the Bible tells us, that at the appointed time, Jesus came. My friends, my question to us is this, are there appointed times in our lives? Well, I believe there are, because the Bible says there's an appointed time for everything and a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Here's my old school reference. The country band Alabama. How many of you know who Alabama is? How many of you only think that's a state in the northwest of the United States? All right. Y'all can explain that to them a little later. Okay. But the old Alabama song says this: I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die. Time is our most precious resource. And just like that very poor movie, it reminds us that the one thing that God has given all of us in equalness that is perishable and unreplaceable is time. God's grace has given us the same 24 hours in a day. The quality, the joy, and the impact of those 24 are directly related to how wisely we use them, not how the world demands them. The Bible does not say if you hurry up, you can catch up with God. It does say, be still and know that I am God. The Bible, Jesus didn't say, join with me and I will work you 18 hours per day. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Stop and rest. Now that is absolutely contradictory to everything in our lives, almost. So the question is how do we take control? How do we app time and take control of it? Because there's only two people that control time, you or someone else. And I believe it's a simple three-step process. Now, it's simple, but it's not easy. You know the difference, right? It's simple, but it's not easy. The first one is you have to understand the purpose of time. Ephesians 4:15 tells us this. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of who is the head, that is Christ. Our purpose is twofold. That we might be saved, and that we might be transformed into the image of God's Son. Your purpose for existence is that you might be saved. The Bible says that God desires that none should perish, but all come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants you to be saved, and He also wants you to be transformed into the image of His Son. That is God's purpose for your life. And in that transformation, we're also making Him known, knowing Him and making Him known. But you see, our purpose is often diluted, distracted, or distorted by ourselves and others or our world. Only when we understand the purpose of time can we begin the process of managing time. If God's purpose for my life is to know Him and to make Him known, everything needs to fall under that. Most believe that their main purpose is to be happy and successful. Now you say, Jimmy, wait a minute. Let me just ask you a simple question. If God's purpose for you, if God's purpose for Christians, if God's measure of success is happiness and successfulness, then about 98% of the brotherhood have failed time after time after time. You know why? Because we have brothers and sisters of the faith all around the world, and I can promise you today may not be a happy day. And the measure of success in most of the rest of the world is not the same measure of success that we apply here in the United States. Rather, I believe God says that the measure of success is to be joyful and faithful. You see, the happiness and joy, the difference is joy is based on whose we are. Happiness is based on what's going on. And my friends, you can be joyful even when the things that are going on aren't that good. And we can be faithful even in the midst of not being a success by the world's standards. God's desire for us, His measuring stick for us, is joyful and faithful and to come to maturity in Christ. We are to become mature in Christ. And you know what the problem with becoming mature in Christ is it can't be hurried. You see, all of you guys are members of that support group. You want it now. Actually, if you could have it yesterday, it would be better than now. But my friends, transformation in Jesus Christ comes one decision at a time. Amen. One day at a time, one week at a time, one month at a time, one year at a time. And God desires that we be transformed. I will say this today, not to brag on myself, but to the glory of the Lord. I am more like His Son today than I was 26 years ago when I met Him. I have not yet arrived, but I am better. I am different. I am transformed, and I'm still being transformed. My friends, and it's taken 26 years. God's desire for us, our purpose in Him and for Him, is to know Him and to grow in Him. And our success, our mark of success, is are we joyful and faithful? And those things come in time. Once we understand the purpose, then we can begin to organize the priorities. Once we have a purpose, we're ready to handle the priority. It means knowing which things are more important and which are less. Once we know our purpose, our priorities should emerge. Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." My kingdom or His kingdom? Your kingdom or His kingdom? The Bible says that we're to seek first His righteousness, His kingdom. The priority starts from the top down. Have you ever been in an organization and the priorities come from the bottom up? That doesn't usually work, but I'm going to tell you this. In our lives and in the lives of the church, it often is. We want to run it top up when the Bible says it needs to run from top down. And we go on. When our priorities are not healthy or clear, we end up attempting more things than we should, and that causes us stress. Can I just say this? And you can say amen in your heart if you want to, or you can say it out loud if you want to. It's not how much you're doing that causes you stress. It's how poorly you're doing all the things you're trying to do that brings you stress. You know how I know that? Ding, 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 captain of the boat right here. I love what I do. I love the good days, the bad days, and all the in-between days. But the thing that brings me the greatest stress is when I feel like I'm failing at everything I'm trying to do. Because I just don't have enough time. Stress comes from trying to do too much, and what you are doing less than successfully. Setting priorities is tough. You know why? Because oftentimes you have to choose between two good things to make it one great thing. No one likes to tell a good thing no. No one likes to say, "Hey, you know, this is good, but this is better. If I could focus on this." It's very hard, and if everyone could do it, the world would be a different place. My friends, it's easy to say no to the things that you don't enjoy, the things that aren't productive, the things that are dangerous and destructive, but the real hard choice comes when it's something that it's okay, but it's not the best. Once we know our purpose, we have to set our priorities. There is not enough time for all things, but there's always enough time for the most important things. Isn't that true? There are some things that you always have time to do. And there are some things that you're always scrambling to make time to do. It could be. It's telling you something. And it goes on. Jesus made an interesting statement about priorities in John 15:2. He seemed to be talking about a grapevine, but really had people in mind. He said, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, He," speaking of God, "prunes it so that it will bear even more fruit." Expert vine growers point out that that the ability to produce fruit increases each year, but without intensive pruning, the plant weakens and the crops get smaller. I was thinking about this, and I'm going to give you a non-spiritual but an incredibly accurate example. And it's called the U.S. government. I believe that over the years, over the 200 plus years, we have had men and women in leadership, and they've had very good intentions. And sometimes they've made very difficult choices and very positive changes. But you know what? There comes a time when you've got to evaluate change. You've got to evaluate value. And if it's not valuable, then it needs to be trimmed off. But you know what our government does? It never evaluates and it never trims off. And that's why it's a gorilla in Washington that eats every dollar you send it and wants two more to replace it. And my friends, just like that government in Washington, so our lives can become. Our lives can become that 100-pound gorilla that will eat every minute of your life and want two more to follow it if you continue to give it. But eventually, we have to take the time, we have to take the courage, we have to take the pruning shears and ask God to guide us to prune, not to say no, but to do a better job of saying yes. The fruit actually does more when pruned than when not pruned. The same principle applies to pruning. Productive, creative. Have you ever wondered where all your productivity went? Have you ever wondered where all your creativity went? I consider myself to be a very creative person. And there's times in my life when the table gets too full, the creativity just ceases. And I realize it's time to trim the vines. Think back in your life. Was there a time when you just flourished and you had energy and you had ideas and all these things, but now it's just, you know, it's 4:30 a.m., it's 9:30 p.m., and you're just running to the bed. You get up in the morning, you don't want to leave it, and then you're just running to it all day. We have to set priorities. The process of setting priorities is an ongoing challenge of life because you know what? Life changes, doesn't it? If you've got little bitty babies, you know what the priority is? Little bitty babies. Not because they ask you, because they demand it. Isn't that right, Jared? That little boy just demands, demands, demands. And you know what? Jared gives and gives and gives. What's that?
Just me.
Just you? Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. But you know, life changes. Each stage in life has its own challenges and its rewards. And we can't live today like we did 20 years ago. Things change. My life's changing. My priorities are always shifting. I don't have the same challenges that perhaps you have, but we have to continually be evaluating where we are and where we're going. Have some priorities that should never change. The first one is the Lord. I'm going to say this because I love you. If you are too busy to have any spiritual food in your life, whether that's personal time, whether that's Sunday morning, Wednesday night, a midweek Bible study, whatever it is, my friend, if you are too busy for spiritual food in your life, you are too busy. And I'm going to go so far as to say this. You are outside of God's will, and it is sin. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you know who I'm preaching to first? Because you know what? My life can run right out from underneath me. And if I do not discipline myself, I can go through an entire day and never read a stitch of God's word. Never spend a moment talking to God. I could do that. How can you do that, Jimmy? You work at church. It's real easy. It's real easy. But my friends, beginning with me, if we are too busy to come to the house of the Lord, if we're too busy to open the word of the Lord, if we're too busy to spend time talking to the Lord, we are in sin and out of God's will for our lives. And something's going to change. By choice or by force, something's going to change. You never change the priority of your Lord. You never change the priority of your love. That lady right there is second only to God Himself. My children don't get above my bride. My family don't get above my bride. My job don't get above my bride. My church don't get above my bride. Nothing gets above my bride. Ever. Ever. Men, there's only one person above your bride, and that's your Lord. And that priority will never change. And the third priority is this: our Lord, our love, and our legacy, our children, our family, and our friends. We are living and living and living and leaving a legacy. The question is what legacy are we leaving? Right. Will our legacy say, man, what a great guy, but he was always too busy for me. What a great guy, but I could never get a hold of him. What a great guy, but he always just seemed worn out. What a great guy, he died 20 years too early because of the stress and the strain of always running to try to catch up. Once we know our purpose, then we can begin to set our priorities. This picture was taken at Friend Day last year. And, you know, I looked at this. There's some pretty funny stuff in here. I'm going to repost this, I think. Because one is my wife is giving my sister bunny ears. That's funny stuff. There's some other stuff in there. There's some. And Jared, I don't have any clue of what you're doing right there. It almost looks like you've peeled a banana. And you're... and you're looking at it. I don't know. But this is what I'm going to say to you. When we do not set priorities that are biblically based, this is what happens, is everyone in this room is busy. We live in a 7-day-a-week work week and a 24-hour work day. That's just where we are today. But this is what happens, is when you start setting priorities, Jimmy, I am tired. Jimmy, I am busy. Jimmy, I do want to change. And this is what I've seen time and time and time and time. The first trim comes church. I sat in the living room of a man whose bride says, I love church. I'm so happy to be in church. I want to raise my children in church. And the first thing he says when he walks in and sits down, he goes, listen, I work 6 days a week, and on the seventh day I'm tired, and I don't have the time nor the energy to come to church. As long as you and I understand that, we're good. And in my mind, I'm thinking, sir, you're an idiot. Your bride just said what her heart's desire is. And you just told her, and you just told him, and you just told me that you don't have time for God. And you know what the success rate of his leadership in his home is going to be? Well, statistically, it's probably not going to be very good. My friends, do not buy the lie of the devil. You do not trim God out of your calendar to make more time for other things. Your calendar needs to run from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. And what did I say earlier? If you don't have time for God, you're too busy, and that's sin. Lastly, let's look at this quickly, because you know what? There's a football game to get to. There's the Life app. It's Times Plan. How do I do it, Jimmy? Oh, man, you've just stomped all over my toes. I'm not going to be able to walk out of here. Someone bring me a wheelchair. Jimmy, you're preaching to the choir. I've been thinking this for like forever. What do I do? A wise Methodist layman once said, he who plans to fail, fails to plan. You've got to have a plan for change. If you think just recognizing the need is going to bring change in your life, you are fooling yourself, and you will be doing the same thing 5 years from now. How do we do it? Well, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, Ephesians 5 tells us. We are the captains of our time. We are the ones who grab the reins and bring them in. Don't blame other people. You take the reins. Now, do not hear me say, everyone listen to me. Do not hear me say that because you're hardworking and there's a lot of demands on your time that you're ungodly. Do not hear me say that. What I am saying is, if you are allowing your life to run piecemeal away from you, we're all busy. I understand. I want us to be better at managing our time. Sometimes in life, more time's demanded of us. I understand. Don't hear me say if you're busy, you're ungodly. It's if you're not in control. We want to make the most of every opportunity. The first step is this. A wise plan's birth is threefold. First, you have to understand the value of why. Why do I want to change? What's the value in changing? It's called stewardship. You only get one life. And you only get 24 hours in a day. That's all you get. Stewardship. How am I spending? How am I investing? How am I using this one and only life that God has given me? Am I being a good steward or a bad steward? The second one is the vision of how. How do I change it? I want to be a good steward. Well, it's one choice at a time. It could be that you have to say, you know what, I don't want to watch that TV show anymore. Not because it's a bad TV show, but that's about 24 minutes that you could put somewhere else. I've got a whole season of a show on my DVR at home that's about this far from just getting deleted. I hadn't watched it yet. I thought I wanted to watch it, but you know, now I'm thinking, I just don't know if I need to invest that time. And it's that close. But you can start in the smallest of things. You can start in what you listen to on the radio. Maybe on a commute to work. Maybe on a commute to a place out of town. It starts in small choices, and it grows and it grows and grows. It's one choice at a time. And lastly, how am I going to do it? Well, if you fight the gorilla with your own hands, you're going to lose to the gorilla. But if you'll step into this fight for your time and bring God onto the team, God will give you victory. He will help you make good choices. He will help you feel confident in those choices. You got to partner with God if you want victory in your life. You can't do it yourself. As far back as I can remember, my biological mother used to watch her programs. And the one that sticks out in my mind is The Days of Our Lives. And then there was General Hospital and All My Children. And as best I know, I've never watched a single full episode of that. And then my biological mother watched them. And then my grandmother watched them. I think she called it her soaps. I never understood why they called it soaps. And then I realized. And then my first job at Juvenile Detention Center, Miss Almeida, she would go in and she would watch Days of Our Lives. That was her lunch break. And one thing I do know is the way it starts off. That voice says this: like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. None of us ever write the final chapter of our life. God writes that chapter. To use a baseball term, God is the closer of our lives. And here's the thing. We never know when God's going to write that final chapter. Countless are the times I've heard people say, I thought I'd have more time. The Bible tells us that today is the day. We have a hope for tomorrow. We have a thanks for yesterday. But this is all we've got, folk. And God is calling us to be good stewards with this one and only life that He's entrusted us to. Paul said this in Philippians, He who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God wants you to be successful in managing your life. And the Bible promises that whatever God starts, you'll always see to fruition. The question I want to ask us very quickly as we get ready to go is this: is it time for change in your life? Is it time for you to take the reins, hand them over to God, and say, God, let's do a better job of this. And I am preaching to me. I've only got 24 hours in a day, and I am working feverishly towards my 50th birthday. And I know, time like sands in the hourglass. And I want to be a good steward, and I want us to be a good steward. My friend, I just want to ask you, is it time for change in your life? And if it is, would you invite God to partner with you, to give you courage, to give you wisdom, to give you insight, to give you tenacity? Because change is not easy, because if it was, everyone would do it. But it's definitely worth it. And you will be surprised what it's like when you can stop and take a breath and go, man, I really love my life. But only when you take control of your life can you find yourself at that.